Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And Ed Battagliano joining me this morning.
Yes.
How you doing, Brother Ed?
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Back from the long weekend.
Did you guys get to watch President Trump's speech at Mount Rushmore?
I did not.
I did Friday night.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to watch a president speak on stolen Indian land. What are you laughing at?
Well, good for you.
I was gone for a week.
I hope you had conviction. You know, you're probably sitting in a chair that was of stolen land, too, somewhere back there sometime.
Huh? Didn't mean to bring that up right off the bat.
Oh, man. Well, the president spoke at Mount Rushmore on Friday evening. It is worthy of watching.
Yes.
If I don't know if YouTube or the White House, probably the White House website has it.
Mm-hmm.
Very patriotic. Excellent speech, I thought, Fred, didn't you?
It was incredible.
And the setting.
And the setting, yeah. The stage and then behind him, the faces of Mount Rushmore. And then, of course, after the speech, the fireworks, which were set off in the background of those faces, with those faces lightly lit. It was an incredible night. Our own Sandy Rios was out there with her husband, and I look forward to her description. She said it was just incredible. Now, there were some protesters that tried to stop the 7,000 ticketed individuals from getting in there, but authorities moved in and move those protesters aside.
Who were the protesters? Do we know?
Well, the reports that I read were there were some Native Indian people who were there, but I think it probably safe to say it was organized by the same anarchists that have been organizing these demonstrations across the country.
Yeah. Well, it was an excellent speech, probably one of the best, if not the best, the president has given.
Yes.
As a candidate or as president, and I commend him for that.
We have several excerpts from that speech, just in case folks missed it.
You want to play them now?
Like Ed?
you want to play them now, or when do you want to play them?
I'd love to play them now.
Okay, let's go.
All right, cut number two.
Make no mistake, this left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. In so doing, they would destroy the very civilization that rescued billions from poverty, disease, violence, and hunger, and that lifted humanity to new heights of achievement, discovery, and progress. To make this possible, they are determined to tear down every statue, symbol, and memory of our national heritage.
So that was... You know, if anybody thought that President Trump was just going to give the kind of a Melba toast, July 4th, great nation, hope you all have a good time speech, that's not Donald Trump. And he proved that. He went right to the core of what is going on in our country right now. He says there are anarchists that are trying to overthrow everything that's good about this country. And he did not apologize for that.
Well, they're anarchists, but they're also communist.
Mm-hmm.
They're both. They're mixed somehow. Communist, Marxist.
Yeah, they're anarchists in order to tear down what exists. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they want to build a socialist, quote-unquote, utopia. Mm-hmm. So
based on the ideas of Karl Marx.
Right.
Yes.
So that's where they're headed with this. And that's why, and it's... it's mixing with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we always say here, there is a difference between Black Lives Matter, the organization, and Black Lives Matter, the sentiment, which we all can agree to. Certainly Black Lives Matter and all lives matter in the eyes of God. But Black Lives Matter, the organization, is openly Marxist. Mm-hmm. And so... that's what President Trump is pushing back on here is these cultural leftists who are wanting to remake America, or they're wanting to upend America because we are an illegitimate country from its founding, and that's what President Trump was. He did a great job of talking about each four of the gentlemen who are on the Mount Rushmore, Teddy Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington, and he gave a little talk about a little short feature on each one of them.
Yes.
But it's interesting because other candidates and other presidents have been to Mount Rushmore in the past, including Senator Bernie Sanders and then-candidate Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no mention of stolen land.
Right.
Mm-mm.
There was no mention of slave owners, as CNN put it, two slave owners on there.
CNN, when Barack Obama went there, referred to Mount Rushmore as majestic, quite a sight.
Right. But now it's changed. It's no longer majestic, according to
President Trump goes there. CNN describes it as a monument to two slave owners.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Allison and I, my wife, we were watching this Friday night, and I said, flip over to CNN, because I want to see if they're covering this. Of course, I kind of knew the answer before we did it. So we only flip over to CNN like seven times a year, you know, because we know, you know what you're going to get there. And sure enough.
And it's going to make your blood pressure go up.
Sure enough, instead of covering a speech by the President of the United States on the 4th of July from Mount Rushmore, they have a special called The President and the Pandemic.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was all about, I didn't watch it. I watched two minutes of it to understand what they were doing, but it was all about, as you can imagine, the pandemic is the president's fault and all the missteps that he's made, which has led to the death of over 100,000 people in our country.
I will say this. You know, the last 4 years have been incredibly trying for Americans, certainly for those who support a Christian and basically conservative view, constitutional view of our country and its history. It has been a very trying 4 years, but I will say this, I am glad that nobody's pretending anymore. Nobody's pretending. CNN is not pretending to be an actual journalistic enterprise. They are a mouthpiece. I won't even say for the Democratic Party, in case there are people listening who are part of the old Democratic Party, they are a mouthpiece for the radical left in this country, and nobody's pretending anymore. So, in a sense, I'm glad because, you know, that this, what they were showing, ignoring the president of the United States, like you said, speaking on the eve of July 4th from Mount Rushmore, they couldn't be bothered.
Yep. And it's not only CNN. Here's the headline from the Associated Press the morning after. For nation's birthday, Trump stokes the divisions within U.S. So for speaking out against anarchy,
right,
President Trump, you're stoking divisions.
Right.
Not that the Black Lives Matter organization or these thugs on the streets with weapons.
Right.
They're not stoking division.
Are the people tearing down statues all over the country, the mobs?
Yes. Yeah.
Ed, you mentioned something this morning at one of our meetings that listing everybody who's against President Trump. I mean, it's just.
The whole, because, and I think Steve Jordahl in our third segment at 11:05 Central Time, we will be dealing with this in more detail, but there are a couple of Republican groups that are actively working against the president, and it just seems to me, I have never seen, and I've been, since the seventh grade, I've been following politics, have always loved it. I have never seen a single person, a single U.S. president, where the whole world seems to be against him.
Yep.
I mean, even people in the Republican Party are against Donald Trump. And we said this morning, we kind of agreed, if President Trump can win re-election with the entire cosmos allied against him, it'll be a miracle. It will be a miracle of God if that man can get re-elected. I have never seen the level of anger and hostility. Maybe it existed when Abraham Lincoln got elected because the country was on the borders of a of the precipice of an actual civil war. So maybe the hatred and the sides were that polarized. But in my lifetime, and since I've been following politics, I have never seen this, ever.
Well, I think because it's go back to 2016, make America great again. You know, that's an opposite to what Barack Obama, we're going to change.
Fundamentally
change America. Joe Biden quoted this morning as saying, we're going to transform America. So what are you going to change? We have just come off up to the pandemic, an incredible economic revival in this country. We've talked about the low unemployment rate across racial lines, everything in the justice reform. Barack Obama and Joe Biden had 8 years to do justice reform as they promised. By the way, they're promising it again, Joe Biden.
Right.
But what President Trump has done with regards to justice reform has been absolutely incredible. So why is it that they hate him? They hate him because, and people may differ with opinion, they hate Donald Trump because they hate America. That's it. What other reason can you give? They hate America as it is. And they hate, and one more quote from the speech on Friday night, this is going to be cut number one. I think this is one of the reasons they hate him also.
We stand tall, we stand proud, and we only kneel to Almighty God. This is who we are. This is what we believe. And these are the values that will guide us as we strive to build an even better and greater future.
You know, at another point in the speech, and I forget the exact words, but it was along the lines of, we respect all life, including the unborn. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing that the left absolutely hates.
He has an excellent speech writer, and I wish I knew who did that, who wrote that particular speech, but... you know, another thing about President Trump, just an observation, is the guy has more stamina than any 74-year-old, if that's what he is, I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He must have phenomenal genes,
right?
Because he went out and played 18 holes of golf, I think, on Friday morning, right? He owns a golf course, so he probably got a tee time that he wanted. There, he owns a golf course in
Florida.
He owns one in
New Jersey, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, he owns one in New Jersey. He also owns one nearby Washington D.C.
Okay,
I'm not sure how, but you know, within an hour, I think. So anyway, so you play 18 holes of golf in the summer heat, then you come in.
And how long does that usually take?
4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah, 4 hours.
You're a golfer,
and then they. Then he flies out to Mount Rushmore, gives the speech at what was 10 o'clock Eastern time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then flies back to D.C., and they have the celebration at the White House with the flyovers, which was awesome. If you got to see that, the flyovers of all the
mm-hmm. –
it was the history of military aviation basically mm-hmm. on display,
mm-hmm.
Even going back to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Did we have planes in World War One?
I mean, they were used, you know, sparingly.
Okay.
You're talking about the biplanes.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some aerial battles, but in terms of,
okay.
You know, working with armies.
But anyway, it was just phenomenal. But I just thought, this guy, I don't know where he gets this energy from.
Yeah.
But he's just amazing. But yeah, we have a divide in this country, and... You're right, Ed. The mask are off on the left because they've chosen to side with the message that America is a terrible country.
Right.
I don't know if they can carry you to victory in November, that message, and being against President Trump. But
well, here's the thing. Now, Vladimir Lenin called people who. Here's the thing about revolutions. I'm just saying this quickly. When you have different groups that unite against a common enemy, the establishment, let's say, in Russia. You're talking about the Tsar. You have different groups that unite. And Lenin called those other groups and the people who supported revolution useful idiots. Because what happens is once you win, you've got these different groups, and now you've got to decide what you're going to replace the government you overthrew. What are you going to replace it with? That's when the knives come out. And that's when the real Marxists get to work killing useful idiots. So you've got all these people who have been teaching young people for the last decade, maybe two, to hate America. And you've got all these people united. We hate America. It's an illegitimate country. Slave owners found it. We stole land from everybody. And so we got to get rid of it. Colin Kaepernick, we probably will talk to him, talk about him today, him saying that this is a terrible country, can't wait to change it, okay? Then what do you do if you overthrow America? Mm-hmm. What do you do if you completely overthrow our Constitution? What do you replace it with? Well, let me tell you something. All these idiots that have been marching in the street, they're going to be the first to go.
Yep.
This is what happens. Mm-hmm. Every revolution happens this way.
The thing, by the way, if you want to watch us on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues, and we're live video streaming there. Today's Issues on YouTube or Facebook. And we appreciate you listening to AFR. Yes, if you're going to subscribe to the idea like Colin Kaepernick does and these AOC and others do, which is a that America is fundamentally a terrible country and it's basically illegitimate. Those are not people that you can say, all right, we have a great country, how can we make it better?
Right.
No, we have a terrible country, how can we tear it down?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people in our nation subscribe to that?
It's pretty small. Okay. Pretty small percentage.
But the useful idiots.
Yes.
Who the useful idiots, to borrow from, is it Lenin you said? There's a lot more of them there out there than there that are following these people who are leading the charge to tear down the country, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And replace it with.
Yeah. What are they going to replace it with? They want to replace it with a quote unquote socialist utopia. And we see how that happens. What follows that?
Black Lives Matter, the organization, makes no bones about it. They say replace it with Marxism.
Right.
Yeah, you know, here's what's interesting to me, you know, when you have gullible young people who are buying into this, I want to ask them, have you been to a Marxist country? Is that what you really want? Do you think you would have the freedom to go out on the streets?
Go to Cuba. Go to Venezuela.
Yeah, Cuba, Venezuela. Try that on for size. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk to some of the folks in Hong Kong?
Yeah. Right.
And see what the Chinese government is doing there. Is that what you want? So yeah. What is it that you want?
Right.
Show me an example of what you want.
How does Joe Biden going to deal with this, Ed, do you think?
I think Joe Biden and the rest of the Democratic Party establishment, they're going to have to give the radicals in their party what they want. We were talking about this morning. They're in big trouble when it comes time to write the platform. Mm-hmm. I don't know at this point whether the Democratic National Committee convention is going to occur in person or whether it'll be a virtual thing when they have their convention in August, but they're going to have to allow these radicals to help write the platform. There is no telling what is going to wind up in that platform because, as you pointed out, the AOCs, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, some of these others, Tlaib, and some of these other radicals, the Black Lives Matter organization radicals, the co-founders said we are a trained Marxists, they're going to want a seat at the table. And Joe Biden and the rest of the Democratic establishment are going to have to give it to him.
Mm-hmm. Are they going to overturn the table?
They will overturn the table, and they will threaten to stay home when it comes to voting in November. And when that platform is written and made public, it is going to be eye-opening.
Yeah. Don't forget, that in 19, whenever the Democrat National Committee had their convention in Charlotte a few years back, you remember? That's when they booed God.
That was in 2012, I think.
Yes.
They booed God.
Mm-hmm.
And booed Israel.
And booed Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This movement is very anti-Semitic.
Yes.
Make no mistake about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an interesting dynamic, too, there, because there's a lot of secular Jews who vote for the Democrat Party.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to find, as this platform is written out, they're going to be anti-Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Louis Farrakhan's type of anti-Semitism is going to be prevalent, I think, in the energy on the far left.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see the mainstream Democrat establishment, the ones who support the ones who wanted Biden to beat Sanders, right?
Right.
They rallied around Biden to defeat Sanders because they didn't think Sanders could beat Trump and Sanders would be bad. His Marxism, if you will, or his
right.
socialism would be bad for the party's brand going forward into the fall. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that because Sanders represents a third or more of the Democrat Party. His followers are high energy for the Democrat Party.
Right.
Well, now Biden is going to have to try to tap into that while he doesn't even know what he believes, quite frankly. Here's a 70, is he 78 years old?
I think
77, I'll check.
77, 78-year-old fella who's been in politics a long time. He doesn't know how to be woke, exactly. He's having to be told by his staffers mm-hmm. what you need to say, what you need to believe. And I noticed where Newt Gingrich said that Joe Biden's speech on July 4th, which I didn't watch, was one of the most anti-American speeches he's ever heard from a presidential candidate. So he's talking about systemic racism and mm-hmm. all the flashpoints for the left
mm-hmm.
in this country. But that's going to be, you know, like you're saying, the AOC, Colin Kaepernick, far left crowd, and they're going to, how much are the Democrat establishment going to give in to them mm-hmm. before they think that's going to hurt their chances in November?
Well, the left has made no secret of their agenda. Just take their agenda on climate change. I mean, that's
right.
been out there now for some time.
Yeah, the Green New Deal.
Yeah, Green New Deal. So kiss goodbye to low gas prices, folks. Just kiss goodbye to that. You may get back and see, you know, $2, $3, $4 a gallon gasoline prices because they want to get rid of fossil fuels.
Right.
I mean, that's what they say. Remember all those promises, free tuition, all of those sorts of things? What is that going to do? Your take-home pay is going to plummet. So along with gasoline prices going up, food prices are going to go up.
Biden said he was going to eliminate the Trump tax cuts.
Yes.
He said taxes are going to go up.
Taxes are going to go up. Your prices for food, for fuel, all of those things are all going to go up. If he's elected.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to happen.
And mm-hmm. and if they took both houses.
Yeah.
If they took the Senate as well as kept the House.
And unemployment will go through the roof.
Yes.
Because companies can't afford these people anymore.
Stock market will plummet.
Yep.
By the way, he's 77 years old.
Mm. Joe Biden is.
But right. He turned 78 in November.
Did you see where Kanye West, the well-known rapper, said he might run?
Yeah,
right.
Saw that.
President, is that this fall or 4 years from now?
No, I'm thinking it's this fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's some kind of, that sounds like a stunt.
I don't see how he could be serious in trying to run. It's July.
Yeah. But if he did get on the ballot, he would probably take 1% away from Joe Biden. Probably from his fans
yep.
out there because he is well known. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek.
Dad always said this, nothing becomes important until it becomes personal. You may not think about poverty. You may not think about racism. Until those issues impinge on you personally, then it becomes important.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
L'Oreal, the makeup company, will no longer use words like whitening and lightening on their products. The decision comes after they received backlash for selling products to lighten skin. Johnson & Johnson also pledged to discontinue some of their Neutrogena and Clean & Clear products, advertised as dark spot reducers in Asia and the Middle East. It's all part of an effort by companies across the nation to earn the approval of Black Lives Matter. Hulu, the web streaming service, announced they had removed an episode of The Golden Girls. Rose and Blanche appeared wearing mud masks. Apparently, someone at Hulu thought the ladies were in blackface. Disney is getting rid of Splash Mountain. Eskimo Pies and Uncle Ben's are changing their packaging. Gone with the Wind, now Gone with the Wind. And it won't be long before a woke dermatologist decides that anyone who tries to get rid of those dark spots is a racist. Come on, folks. We're better than this, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program. Tim, Ed, Fred, we thank you for listening. If you'd like to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Fred, next story.
Yeah, another horrible weekend in some of the big cities in the country. It's almost every weekend in Chicago. I think it was 17 deaths there, 67 shootings. New York City, I think there were over a dozen deaths there. This morning, a former New York City Police Commissioner, Bernard Gierick, was on Fox and Friends, and he talked about what's going on in some of these major cities. Cut number five.
The borough commander of Manhattan North, Harlem, Spanish Harlem, Washington Heights, calling out the politicians, where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you there? And this is the same thing going on all over the country in cities led by Democrats. You had 76 people shot in Chicago, 14 dead, 28 shot in Atlanta, 4 dead, 20 shot in Cleveland, 3 dead. Every one of these cities are led by Democrats. They're villainizing the police. They're victimizing the thugs. And this is what happens when you do that.
Defund police campaigns in these cities, and yet people are dying. In Atlanta, this morning, the city is offering a $10,000 reward in connection with the shooting of an 8-year-old girl. What happened was, you remember this Wendy's, which was torched, which was destroyed in the wake of the killing there of that
Brooks.
Yes. So there have been some armed thugs that have been holed up there. Mayor did nothing. They've been out there with their high-powered weapons.
Putting up barricades in the
streets.
Putting
up barricades in the streets. Okay, the mayor has allowed all of that. Well, what happened, a mom in her car kind of got off I-75, I think it was, got lost, was trying to turn around, hit one of the barricades. These thugs opened fire on that car. 8-year-old little girl killed. All right? This is happening over and over and over again.
You mean
the mayor of Atlanta says, we have to stop this. We have to stop, and she's an African-American woman. We have to stop killing each other, she says. Well, that's happening weekend after weekend after weekend. New York City, Mayor de Blasio, we're going to get rid of our undercover detective agency. What is it, 400 cops? We're going to lay off all kinds of cops. We're going to take $1 billion out of the New York City budget, police budget. But things are going to be better, he says. You know, there's just the reality to all of this. Here's another thing. President Trump offers, he says, I'm waiting to be invited by some of these governors, Democrat governors in these cities, these mayors. We'll come in and try to help you out and bring some calm to your city. And it's not happening. Here's the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, cut number 6.
Does the federal government need to be invited into a situation like Chicago?
I would say yes. These cities and states need to ask for the federal help. The president's been very clear. The Department of Homeland Security has been very clear, as well as the Department of Justice. We are there to help. They need to ask for it. We can come in, as we did here in D.C. about last month, where we restored that law and order back to the city, stopped churches from being burned. We do have the ability to do this. We just need to be invited and have those state and local authorities ask for the federal government's help.
So the question is, why aren't they inviting the federal government to come in, bring in the National Guard, to stop the killing of mostly black people? That's the case.
The mayor of Atlanta said that this you can't blame this on cops.
No.
This is poor eight-year-old little girl pulled off I-75, wanted to turn around, but got stuck on this street where the Wendy's is, where Rayshard Brooks was killed. And there were barriers set up. This poor woman's just trying to find a place to turn around, so went around a barricade, and apparently two people opened up fire, opened and shooting their guns in there, and killed an 8-year-old girl.
If, in fact, this mayor allowed, has been allowing this to go on, like in Seattle, for you're talking about, she's been allowing this
couple of weeks,
Wendy's
now.
Autonomous zone,
right?
For lack of a better description. I would think the family of this 8-year-old that was killed would have a case against the city of Atlanta and the mayor because she allowed this lawlessness to take place, which led to the death of the 8-year-old. What's happening in Chicago, and it's increasing in other cities, as the gentleman just said, New York's becoming more violent every weekend, is you've had the trashing of the police departments, and not only people wanting to defund them, but also the disrespect that it's coming from the left against the police departments, the law enforcement profession, if you will. That is causing more lawlessness. Mm-hmm. It can't help but it. And so, on the one hand, I would say, yes, the president could send in the National Guard to assist and help in these big cities. Although, I question the wisdom of that, because we're supposed to be a country, as far as local law enforcement, that is handled by governors and mayors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is their problem, and this is the problem of the voters in those cities, because they keep putting the same people back into office again and again and again. And I'm talking about Democrats over and over again in these big cities. And so uneducated to vote for people different, and they keep voting the same people back in, then they deserve the government that they get, which is what we see going on in these big cities, which is leading to the lack of control. In Chicago, we know that there's a no-go zone.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Pritchard has told us that. There's no-go zones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police won't go there, you mean?
Police won't go there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Police won't go there. It's too dangerous. And this is I don't know what's going to happen, but until these cities start voting in different people who are more law and order,
right,
folks, then this is going to continue to rise. What do you think about feds going in?
No, I think it's exactly as we heard. I think you can't just come in. The only way you can come in is if you declare martial law, and I don't think the situation warrants that, because as you point out, there are people who are in charge. They're just making the wrong decisions. They're just choosing the wrong approach. So it's not completely lawless, and it's not like the people who are in charge, the mayor's office and the police departments, so on and so forth, can't get control of the situation. It's that the mayor's office won't let the police department get control, and I don't think the president has the constitutional authority to declare that to declare martial law. It'd be martial law if there was no possibility of the local government getting control of the situation. You just need to call in troops to quell, you know,
I don't think they're going
violence.
To anyway. I think the Democrats, the mayors are going to not going to want the president coming in anyway,
right,
with any kind of federal presence like the National Guard. But I'm going to tell you, if it were me and I lived in a big city and I had the means to get out, I would get out now.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the video? I think you mentioned it this morning. In broad daylight, this guy
in New York.
In New York City.
Yeah, broad daylight. And most of this is black-on-black crime.
It is.
Almost almost exclusively black-on-black crime, which is getting more attention now. I don't know how Black Lives Matters can ignore the problem with black-on-black crime, which
But they are.
Which is?
The leadership of the Black Lives Matter organization. I challenge you to find a quote this morning of them decrying the violence in these big cities. Like you said, these kids that are dying, Chicago, 7-year-old, 14-year-old, 8-year-old.
They're African-American kids.
They're African-American kids. Where is the Black Lives Matter organization? Why aren't you speaking up?
That doesn't serve their political ends. Right?
Exactly.
Or the narrative.
Or the narrative.
Or the story they're
trying
to... They got
to keep it on cops versus black people. That's how their message gets out.
Yeah.
Even though the numbers don't support that.
Because the cops represent the city government, and the city government is a part of a racist America. So you can't put the spotlight on anything other than that narrative, because that's what you're going for in overthrowing the Constitution, is you're saying we got to scrap it and start all over because look how bad it is. You can't have the attention over here where last week a 13-year-old girl was just sitting at home watching television and a bullet came in the window and killed
Chicago,
her.
In Chicago.
Not from a cop's gun.
Right. And isn't it interesting how when it's just people committing crimes, it's gun violence.
Mm.
You ever notice this?
Right.
As if the guns get up every morning, go out and find somebody to shoot. It's gun violence. We need to have gun control. Yet when it's the police officers and they have to use their guns, it's the police officers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the gun violence. You see
right.
what I'm...
Right.
the police officers. Again, I would get out of these big cities. I think it's only going to deteriorate and get worse. I think it's out of control. Unless they reverse course in these cities and start voting in more law and order mayors, city councilmen,
right.
and such. But, you know, it pays for these left-wing mayors to exploit the situation to their advantage, because what they can do is they can be against the police and then they can stir up people to support them in their campaigns and
right.
to vote for them, because say I'll stop police brutality because I'm the mayor of the city and you're going to watch me deal with it. Well, that puts them at crosshairs with the police department, and that's going to ultimately lead to a deterioration of morale.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see people retiring, you're going to see people quitting, and you're going to see that's going to lead to more lawlessness. So it's a self-defeating message to send to me on the part of those mayors, like in Chicago and New York and to Atlanta and other cities. But this
can you imagine if you're in one of these Chicago? I didn't know this when you're saying no-go zones in Chicago. I've heard of no-go zones in London. I've heard of no-go zones
Paris.
In Paris because of Muslim communities there. I did not know there were places too dangerous for the cops to go in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine if you are a minority person in those areas of Chicago and you can't afford to leave, yeah, or you've got nowhere you can go, mm-hmm, if you could leave? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are, mm-hmm, these poor people? Now they are the prey, mm-hmm, for the predators, and there is no law and order coming. And you're living in a city in which you can't get a gun. Yeah.
Imagine this over the July 4th weekend. Just think about these numbers for a minute. In the city of Chicago, 70 people were shot. 70.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a war zone.
Yeah.
And 14 dead.
Yeah.
14 dead because of violence.
That's just shootings. Okay. Yeah. That's not beatings. That's not rapes. That's not robberies. That's just shootings.
Yeah, hospitals just must be, they're in Chicago.
It was safer in Afghanistan this weekend than it was in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, next story.
Well, as we mentioned a few moments ago, Joe Biden over the weekend tweeting out that if he's elected, he's going to transform America.
Mm.
So a lot of people are kind of waiting for who he's going to choose as his running.
Into what? Transform into what?
Well, that's a big question. He didn't say, no.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people are looking at who he plans to pick as his running mate. And this morning, the word is out there that if not at the top of the list, very close to the top of his list is Susan Rice. Now, you will remember she was a very high-ranking official, former national security advisor in the Barack Obama administration. Well, she was interviewed over the weekend. Here's a little bit of her agenda. Cut number 7.
The President of the United States has demonstrated absolutely callous disregard for the safety and security of American forces in a war zone. I don't buy this story that he was never briefed. Why is President Trump at every turn protecting and defending Vladimir Putin? Even when it comes to the blood of American service members, this president picks Putin over our troops.
I think Susan Rice is hoping that Americans have a very bad memory. Very interesting this morning. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton was on Fox and Friends. Here's his opinion of Susan Rice. Have a listen.
Susan Rice was the Typhoid Mary of the Obama-era foreign policy. Let's look at the two records here. President Obama stood by as Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. When Ukraine begged for defensive aid, they sent blankets. President Trump sent Javelin anti-tank missiles. Let's look at President Obama's record on arms control. He negotiated a terrible arms control treaty with Russia that leaves us at risk of being outgunned by Russia and China combined. President Trump has been eliminating obsolete arms control treaties from the Cold War. So at every turn, President Trump has been much tougher on Russia than President Obama ever was.
Yes, Senator Cotton left out a few things. Let's remember the role that Susan Rice played in Benghazi. Remember the story she tried to sell to the United, mm-hmm, States of what happened in Benghazi? Oh, there were people that were upset about the anti-Muslim video.
And she knew it was a lie.
She knew it was a lie, but she kept going on.
Yeah.
And her friend Hillary Clinton, the same thing, telling the Americans what they knew to be a lie.
Also, her boss, President Obama, you remember when he was running for re-election, and he had that off-mic comment to the number two guy there,
Medvedev,
from Russia, and he told him, take this message back to Vladimir,
yes,
Putin, that I can't say what we'll do now, because I'm paraphrasing, but I'm not being unfair with this. Obama said, I can't say out loud to the American public what I'm willing to do for you and for Russia, because it would hurt me in the campaign.
He said, I'll have more flexibility when I'm reelected.
Yep.
Right. So he's making this kind of, and that was supposed to be off mic.
Right.
So he was dealing with the Russians trying to, so there, I'm talking about President Obama. So, by the way, I think she probably will be the choice of Biden because he knows her well. They worked together for several years in the White House. By the way, how long is the word White House going to stand? That's got to go.
Oh, in terms of the woke crowd, you mean?
Yeah, you're going to have to change that color. I don't know what you change it to. But anyway.
Maybe mauve.
Huh? Mauve. The mauve house. Mm. But I think she probably will be the choice because for the reasons I just mentioned.
And well, she brings some national name recognition,
yeah,
as opposed to some of like the Atlanta mayor and some of these others that don't have as much, even Stacey Abrams, who is well known in Georgia for running for the governorship there. But Susan Rice carries a lot more name recognition. She would bring foreign policy gravitas, but she does bring baggage too. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Joe Biden's pick as a running mate is getting a whole lot more attention than it normally would because he's 77 years old, and we've seen the demonstration of his perhaps deteriorating mental health.
Right.
And so everybody's saying, you know, the person who's on the ticket with him is just one heartbeat away.
Right.
By the way, did Joe Biden ever say why he's tested all the time for his mental capabilities?
No.
That was a strange answer. Did you see this?
Yeah. I don't. There was no explanation as far as I know, except I guess it was meant to try to put at ease people who had questions. And he said, oh, I'm tested all the time. But yet, why? Why are you being tested all the time if you don't have any cognitive problems?
Well, unless he wasn't telling the truth.
Or maybe
he didn't mean it literally.
Yeah.
That's what, huh? I don't think he probably is not tested all the time because he wouldn't pass. I don't think, not to the level of being president of the United States. But do you think Biden will have a debate? Were you here when we were talking about, you were out last week.
I was out last week.
What do you think? You think that Biden will ever debate Trump?
My understanding is that he's calling for 3 debates, right?
Mm.
There's a difference between calling for them and actually showing up for them.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking.
Oh, all right.
Because a lot of us think that the Biden camp is going to try to weasel out of any kind of one-on-one debate with President Trump.
I don't see how he gets away with that.
Maybe do one?
He'd have to have a really good explanation.
Here's what you do. You say, we don't want to, with COVID going wild all over America, people dying in the streets, as we all know, we're not going to, we don't want, the symbolism of having a debate would be the wrong message. So we'll do a virtual debate with President Trump.
I think Trump would pummel him. He could, because he'd say, listen, we're going to be 20 feet away. That's proper social distancing. Trump's going to say Joe Biden is a coward. That's why he's not debating.
Well,
he wants to have a virtual one so there can be a technical difficulty and we can't finish the debate. That's Trump's going to say that.
Well,
so whether or not that hurts Biden, I don't know.
I just think that the Biden camp's thinking we have got to keep him off the stage against Trump. We cannot. We're going to drop 5 points overnight.
Right.
Because Biden benefits from the basement. As
yes.
Terry McAuliffe said, one of the
Which
Democrats.
Is why he's not doing interviews. He hadn't been doing interviews. Well, he went like 90 days without
an
interview.
If you don't say or do anything or get out, then your numbers are not going to change that much, it doesn't seem to me.
Well, and you're just having your staff release statements. You're not actually on your feet talking to an interviewer or making
him,
speech. That benefits. Yes, that does. It benefits.
At least it doesn't hurt him yet, but I do agree with, even though what I just said a few minutes ago about them trying to get out of debates, I do think they will get out of debates, plural. I think there'll be one, maybe two, but I don't think there'll be any more.
Well, the flip side of all of that is who's going to be doing the questions on the debate? I mean, are we going to have NBC and CNN anchors asking the questions? And what kind of impact would that have? Because we all know how the questions are going to go. We saw the kinds of questions the reporters last week were being asked. How do you feel? How are you standing up? all of these sorts of things. It was ridiculous, the questions that came. And Joe Biden, he had a list of reporters in front of him. He had a tough time
reading
from a list of reporters.
Right.
He couldn't get the name of his hometown newspaper right. I mean, it's just, it goes on.
I really don't know. The Democrats were in a bad way when they had to pick between Biden and Sanders.
Right.
And the Democrat establishment decided we'll go with Joe Biden and hope for the best, I think, instead of going with Bernie Sanders and losing for sure.
Right.
You know, I guess that's what they were thinking.
Well, you remember James Carville from the Clinton years, the Bill Clinton years. Remember he said in his Louisiana Cajun accent, he said, the other guy we got there, he says he's a socialist. Remember?
About Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. He said, we can't be run by a socialist. I got to work on that. That was pretty.
Getting close. Keep working on it.
Telling Marilyn. Now I'm slipping.
But I think it would be, you don't want, if you're Biden in his camp, you want to go with somebody for your VP that you know personally well.
Right.
You don't want to try, you want to have your 78-year-old guy who's fading in many ways trying to develop a relationship.
Right.
With somebody that he doesn't know exactly what they're going to say. And again, as we said earlier, Biden is trying to learn to be woke on the fly.
Yes. This is insane.
I mean, it's insane. It is. That's why he's, he had 8 years, he and Barack Obama, to be in office. You never heard about systemic racism then.
2 years, the first 2 years of the Obama administration, with both the House and the Senate.
Yes.
Could have done anything they wanted.
Systemic racism would go back, as the far lefties claim, founding of our country. You never heard this from Obama Biden.
Mm-mm. Let me tell you something. If Joe Biden is actually in cognitive decline, okay, and what you just said, that Joe Biden is trying to learn to be woke on the fly, how hard is it going to be for him, since he evidently doesn't actually hold these woke views, how hard is it going to be for him to try to remember what he's supposed to believe about this? Now, how am I supposed to believe about this? I got to be woke here. How's he going to do that if he's having trouble even remembering what he actually does believe?
I believe the reason that the Democrats chose, and some people may disagree with me on this, Joe Biden is a liberal. He's a liberal Democrat. He's not a far left woke individual that's the AOC type.
Right.
So while I disagree with his liberalism on many things, he would be the kind of person that would say, he would be the kind of person that would think that these ideas, or these far left woke ideas, are crazy. But I don't know how he's going to reconcile that with his own campaign, because he needs those folks to support him.
Yeah.
And so, at least that hasn't been his history, as being, in the Bernie Sanders. There's a reason they wanted Biden over Sanders.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Perfect.
Biden is a classic liberal. Sanders is a socialist. There is a difference. All right. We will be back in 5 minutes. Thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to tell you what Colin Kaepernick tweeted over the weekend. This is the guy that's celebrated by the NFL now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.